Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I'm your host, retired FBI Supervisor Special Agent Darren Mott. Thank you so much for taking the time to download, listen, and pass information along to your friends, colleagues, and family members. This is not all the cyber news overnight, but it's the cyber news that I thought was interesting. So let's get right into it. TheRegister.com, Brandon Vigliarolo. American Express admits card data exposed and blames a third party. So if you have an American Express card, you may want to listen up here. A security failure at a third-party vendor exposed an untold number of American Express card numbers, expiration dates, and other data to persons unknown. Quote, we became aware of that a third-party service provider engaged by numerous merchants experienced unauthorized access to its systems. American Express Chief Privacy Officer Nikki Koval wrote in a letter to customers at the end of last month alerting them to the snafu. Quote, your current or previously issued American Express card account number, your name and other card information, such as the expiration date, may have been compromised. It is important to note that American Express owned or controlled systems were not compromised in this incident, unquote. The U.S. state of Massachusetts disclosed the blunder as part of its rules on publicizing privacy breaches. It's worth noting American Express has appeared in Massachusetts reports of data leakage a total of 16 times so far this year, with other incidents mostly only covering a few read single-digit Massachusetts residents. Notification letters for those dozens or so screw-ups state that individual merchants were compromised, exposing customer records. So the biggest point here is if you have an American Express card, pay attention to your account. Look for unknown charges that are not your own, and then let American Express know so you can get a new card and resolve this issue. Now, again, this goes to show the problem with third-party data loss. American Express was not at fault here. They were not compromised, but some third party was. So again, it's a good learning experience for companies that obviously outsource a lot of security and other stuff to be aware of the security of your third party vendors, if you can, right? If you have that capability to do due diligence, to have them do risk assessments to see how they're handling cybersecurity, you'll be better posed or better off. ArsTechnica.com, Dan Gooden reporting. Hackers exploited a Windows 0 day for 6 months after Microsoft knew of it. Awesome. This is why we can't have nice things, because of this right here. Now, in the subheadline, technically Microsoft doesn't consider such bugs as vulnerabilities, but it patched it anyway. All right. Hackers backed by the North Korean government gained a major win when Microsoft left a Windows 0 day unpatched for 6 months after learning it was under active exploitation. Even after Microsoft patched the vulnerability last month, the company made no mention that the North Korean threat group, you guessed it, Lazarus, had been using the vulnerability since at least August to install a stealthy rootkit on vulnerable computers. The vulnerability provided an easy and stealthy means for malware that had already gained administrative system rights to interact with the Windows kernel. That's not at all good. Lazarus used the vulnerability for just that. Even so, Microsoft has long said that such admin to kernel elevations don't represent the crossing of a security boundary, a possible explanation for the time Microsoft took to fix the vulnerability. And then this is like a headline to another paragraph, a rootkit holy grail. Quote, when it comes to Windows security, there is a thin line between admin and kernel. Jan Wojtaszczyk, a researcher with security firm Avast, explained last week. Quote, Microsoft's security servicing criteria have long asserted that administrator to kernel is not a security boundary, meaning that Microsoft reserves the right to patch admin to kernel vulnerabilities at its own discretion. As a result, the Windows security model does not guarantee it will prevent an admin level attacker from directly accessing the kernel. So I'm not sure why Microsoft does this or why they think this is a good idea. Well, partly I know why, because people are still going to use Microsoft. It doesn't matter if they do it or don't do it. People are not going to suddenly give up Microsoft for Linux or for Apple or whatever. So, you know, what do they care? But, you know, it goes to show the problems we have and why bad guys are going to win, because the software manufacturers don't take security importantly themselves. There's a lot more to this article. You're certainly welcome to take a look at it. As always, the articles listed in this podcast are available in the show notes if you want to look at them. TheHackerNews.com. Over 100 malicious AI, ML, or artificial intelligence machine learning models found on the Hugging Face platform. I don't know what Hugging Face is. It's a new one for me, but let's see. As many as 100 malicious artificial intelligence and machine learning models have been discovered in the Hugging Face platform. These include instances where loading a pickle file leads to code execution, software supply chain security firm JFrog said. Quote, the model's payload grants the attacker a shell on the compromised machine, enabling them to gain full control over a victim's machine through what is commonly referred to as a backdoor, senior security researcher David Cohen said. The silent infiltration could potentially grant access to critical internal systems and pave the way for large-scale data breaches or even corporate espionage, impacting not just the individual user, but potentially entire organizations across the globe, all while leaving victims utterly unaware of their compromised state. So this is obviously going to be the problem with AI and machine learning as it becomes more mainstream, is that bad guys are going to figure out ways such as this to use it to their advantage to get people to download apps and files that are malicious and probably are designed such that your security software probably may or may not catch it, which is why it's important to have software security that does some kind of whitelisting, so that if some program suddenly runs that particular security platform, if that program is not whitelisted, won't allow it to run. It's not always flawless, obviously, but certainly something that would be useful to do. Like PCmatic does that, and I'm sure a host of others do, but you know, PCmatic will whitelist this and give you some extra protection. From this article, from supply chain risk to zero click worms, as researchers have devised efficient ways to generate prompts that can be used to elicit harmful responses from large language models using a technique called beam search based adversarial attack, or BEAST. In a related development, security researchers have developed what's known as a generative AI worm called Morris 2, which is a callback to the Morris worm, the first online worm back in 1988, that's capable of stealing data and spreading malware through multiple systems. So again, this does not mean AI and machine learning is bad and the devil and we should get rid of it all. It just means that bad guys have figured out how to use it, and we can use those same tools to protect our systems. You just have to, obviously the problem is you have to have someone who's able to use it to do those kind of things. But again, this is just more for knowledge and awareness. If you use the Hugging Face platform, just be aware that there's malicious files and tools on there that could be problematic if you downloaded them. From Wired.com, Andy Greenberg, hackers behind the Change Healthcare ransomware attack just received a $22 million payment. This would be Alf V, if you are paying attention. The transaction, which is visible on Bitcoin's blockchain, suggests the victim of one of the worst ransomware attacks in years may have paid a very large ransom. The ransomware attack targeting medical firm Change Healthcare has been one of the most disruptive in years, crippling pharmacies across the U.S., including those in hospitals, and leading to serious snags in the delivery of prescription drugs nationwide for 10 days and counting. Now, a dispute within the criminal underground has revealed a new development in the unfolding debacle. One of the partners of the hackers behind the attack points out that those hackers, a group known as Alpha V or Black Hat, received a $22 million transaction that looks very much like a large ransom payment. On March 1st, a Bitcoin address connected to AlphaV received 350 Bitcoins in a single transaction, or close to $22 million based on exchange rates at the time. Then 2 days later, someone describing themselves as an affiliate of AlphaV, one of the hackers who work with the group to penetrate victim networks, posted on the criminal underground forum Ramp that AlphaV had cheated them out of their share of the Change Healthcare ransom, pointing to the publicly visible $22 million transaction on Bitcoin's blockchain of proof. This suggests, according to Dimitri Smilantes, a researcher for security firm Recorded Future, who first spotted the post, that Change Healthcare has likely paid Alfie's ransom. You can see the number of coins that landed there. You don't see that kind of transaction so often. There's proof of a large amount landing in the Alfie-controlled Bitcoin wallet. So did Change Healthcare pay it? Who knows? They're not going to certainly say it that they did. If all of a sudden their systems go online and without any problems, then maybe they did. But again, this is going to bring back the debate on whether or not we should pay ransomware actors. And it's understandable from Change Healthcare's perspective. If they can't recover from this ransomware attack and they need to, I mean, if to be able to allow pharmacies and hospitals to fill prescriptions, they've got to pay it to get their systems back online. So I understand why they did it. But it's going to show that if you're a ransomware group, target the healthcare sector because obviously it's profitable. There's people that will pay. And that is unfortunate, which means that the healthcare community needs to come together and figure out a way to harden down their systems. And until they do that, the bad guys are going to continue to win. Lastly, from helpnetsecurity.com, 95% believe LLMs or large language models making phishing detection more challenging. Mm-hmm. More than 95% of responding IT and security professionals believe social engineering attacks have become more sophisticated in the last year, according to LastPass. That's kind of a silly sentence because they always become more sophisticated, but LLMs and things like that are obviously going to make it easier. So recent AI advances, particularly generative AI, have empowered cyber criminals to coordinate social engineering assaults with unprecedented precision and customization. Phishing and other social engineering attacks manipulate people into sharing information they shouldn't or make other mistakes that compromise their personal or organizational security. Psychological manipulation through social engineering will continue to be a pervasive threat to businesses and their employees in 2024, 2025, 2026, that's me adding that. Employees are the first line of defense in safeguarding a company's sensitive data, yet they are also its weakest link and can be easily manipulated by bad actors seeking sensitive data and credentials. The first step in combating social engineering is recognizing the problem is prevented, right? So obviously, repeating a lot of the same stuff we talk about all the time, but the key here is, don't blame the LLMs. Use the LLMs to provide to be able to create better detections. I mean, it is not, if the bad guys are figuring out how to use it to for bad stuff, the good guys should be able to figure out how to use it for good stuff. It should be really not that hard. But again, I seem to be repeating myself, but this is a pretty interesting article. I recommend it to other folks if they want to see more on that. It's again, the link is in the show notes. So that is going to do it for this Tuesday's quick look at the cybersecurity news of the day. As always, I thank you for taking the time to listen, download, and subscribe. If you have not subscribed, if you're listening to this on X or on LinkedIn, it would be great if you would just go ahead on your podcast providing app on your phone and just subscribe. Do I expect you to listen to every episode? Sure. No, you can't. I mean, I listen to plenty of episodes. I certainly don't listen to them all. But I do appreciate if you take the time to download and listen. It's good to know that I'm doing it for somebody who cares. So as you go through the rest of your Tuesday, know that knowledge is protection. If we can understand the threats targeting us, we can assess our risk, proceed wisely. Thanks again for listening. We will be back again tomorrow with a Deep Dive Wednesday.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren at thecyberguy.com. Or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.